Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right. It's another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'm also a writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, where you can check out a lot of great work on the Pelicans coming to you daily. Today, we got some interesting news for the Pelicans. That news broke that Lance Stephenson needed surgery on his groin. The team then kind of cut him right away, and it's just a savage, brutal move, but business decision nonetheless. So Lance Stephenson was cut. The Pelicans then signed Archie Goodwin, a free agent guard who was last with the Suns the past three seasons. I'm going to break that down for you guys, talk about what it means. Does it really matter to the Pelicans? I'll give you a bit of a primer on who Archie Goodwin is. Is he going to make an impact or not? Is he going to be able to replace Lance Stephenson, who, you know, I said all the time wasn't quite the hope for, you know, that people wanted him to be, but was still a needed player for the Pelicans and was doing some good things, some good with the bad. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the games a little bit, the Phoenix Suns game from this past Friday. What went right there? What went wrong? Why are the Pelicans still 0-6? I've kind of got some ideas about that, which we'll talk about in the second half of the podcast. Sorry that this one's coming a little late to you guys. I'm having some internet issues at my house and trying to get those resolved. So this one's going to be a little bit late. Tomorrow, I'll still have it up for you guys at 6 a.m. after the Pelicans play the Warriors. They're in Oakland tonight. 17.5-point underdogs, which is pretty brutal. I don't think this is going to be a good night for the Pelicans at all. But maybe, you know, the Lakers beat the Warriors the other day. Maybe the Pelicans will surprise everyone, hopefully, though I wouldn't necessarily count on it. I'm not really going to break that game down for you, give you a preview of that. It's a late tip-off, 9:30 Central tonight. But we'll touch on it kind of quickly towards the end. One thing I really want you all to pay attention to. So thank you for listening. Sorry again, this came out so late, but this is Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, coming to you guys 5 days a week. You don't get this kind of coverage anywhere else. As much as I love the local sports radio down here, and I go on there and give interviews all the time on the various stations, they don't talk Pelicans like we do, like Bourbon Street Shots breaks it down for you. You know, basically, if you want to get any NBA knowledge, insight, listen to the Locked On Pelicans with me here, or the Locked On NBA podcast, the general one, hosted by David Locke. It's really excellent. You can like this on Facebook. On Twitter, definitely retweet out any links we put out there. There's a Twitter handle that I now have access to for the podcast. It's at Locked On Pels. Makes it pretty easy for you guys. I'm at Nola Jake. Bourbon Street Shots is at Bourbon Street Shots. Everything's pretty simple here for you guys. But no one's coming to you like this, so make sure you're listening to the national podcast to us, sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, on Audio Boom, whatever app you use to get podcasts. It'll be on there as well. All you need to do is search for it. I use Stitcher. That's how I listen to everything, is I'm kind of on the move this past couple of weeks, and it's been a great opportunity to catch up on everything. So the Lance Stephenson news broke kind of late Saturday night. No one's really certain when this injury occurred, whether it was done in practice, let's say, after the game on Friday, or, you know, maybe it occurred during the game and he played through, or if it was something he just did, which I've seen people throw out. Who really knows? But basically, the Pelicans announced he needed surgery on his groin. He was going to be out anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks. And right now, with the Pelicans being depleted, with Holiday still out, with Tyreke Evans still out, with Quincy Pondexter still out, they just needed a body and couldn't afford to hold open a roster spot for Lance Stephenson to come back. And this is really a shame for Lance. I was rooting hard for him. You've got to feel bad for the guy. He'd been a model citizen with the Pelicans, from what I've heard and seen in the locker room with him at practices, in interviews. He seemed like he was just kind of doing everything the right way, and it was nice to see him kind of, you know, remodeling himself, remolding himself, kind of just, you know, changing the narrative about him. But it's also a business. You know, the Pelicans needed healthy players. They needed bodies. And Stevenson was on the cheapest contract. He was the player that was most likely to get cut. A lot of people had rumored, been thrown out that potentially the Pelicans would be trying to attain a hardship extension. And that's when if you have four guys out for 10 days or more, you can get a hardship extension after a certain time during the season where you can bring in a guy on a temporary contract. The problem is, it sounds like the Pelicans aren't really pursuing that per Justin Verrier of ESPN.com, because it sounds like they don't want to rule anyone out, say, for 2 weeks. That's usually the time frame when you've got people coming out before the thing expires. So they don't want to rule Jrue Holiday out for 2 weeks. It sounds like maybe someone anticipates him, at least in the Pelicans organization, maybe coming back sooner rather than later. Maybe Evans is closer to a return, or maybe Quincy Pondexter. But it sounds like they don't want to pursue the hardship exception because they don't want to rule those guys out and lock them out for 2 weeks. So that's going to be the problem. Also, with the temporary hardship exception, let's say they get the extra roster spot, have a guy on, they would then still need to cut somebody else after if they wanted to keep that person. So say they sign Goodwin with the hardship exception, they'd still need to cut, you know, if they wanted to keep him on the roster, they need to cut Lance Stevenson or someone else. And it sounds like this was just easier overall. Ends up being a bit cheaper for the Pelicans if you think about it. They're not paying, you know, people as much. So, you know, it's a shame for Lance to suffer that injury and then be let go rather than getting a chance to come back and play him, but it's partially a business. Matt Barnes actually on Instagram was really, really upset about it. I don't think he's got any necessarily insight into the specific situations here, but I'm going to read you the quote he put up there because I think it's kind of an interesting topic. So he says, "So my man Lance Stevenson busts his ass for the Pelicans, gets hurt, requires surgery, and what does he get for his hard work? Waived." I'm not going to go into the next part of it. "Something fans have to understand is y'all get mad when players leave during free agency or hold out for more money. We have to do what's best for us. We have a small window to make as much money as we can. Remember, this is a business, and when you can no longer serve your purpose, these teams cut you, trade you, or bury you on the bench. Case in point, Lance gets hurt playing and needs surgery now. So instead of supporting him and helping him get healthy, they cut him." Yeah, unfortunately, it is a business. I understand why Matt Barnes is upset. I can understand, you know, that Lance Stevenson is probably furious right now, but the Pelicans are trying to win. They're 0-6. This is the best move for the franchise, and what they, you know, it's what they have to do. This business of the NBA, of the NFL, of any professional sport is pretty brutal and kind of soulless at times, and you're seeing it right now. So, you know, not the best look for the Pelicans to kind of treat someone like that, just kind of cast him aside, but it is what they need to do, and Archie Goodwin is going to help more than an injured Lance Stevenson will. But I don't know actually how much Archie Goodwin's really going to help this team. I'll be honest, Lance Stevenson, with the way he had been playing for the Pelicans, is probably better than Archie Goodwin is now. I know a lot of people are going to see that Goodwin's 22 years old and they're going to think potential, and it's going to get them excited about what he can maybe grow into or bring to the table. But I don't think he's a better player than Lance Stevenson is. And that's, you know, saying I wasn't huge on the Lance train. I wanted him on the team. I thought he could do certain things that were needed for the Pelicans, creating his own shot, driving to the rim, something we don't have really many other guards who are capable of doing. And Goodwin's kind of a Lance Stevenson light, a younger version of him that just hasn't reached the potential. He'd been with the Phoenix Suns the past 3 years. He was drafted by the Thunder, traded to the Suns on draft night. His first season, he was really buried behind a deep bench of guards there. They had Ish Smith, Eric Bledsoe, and Isaiah Thomas there, so he wasn't really going to be able to do a whole lot. As the seasons went on, as a couple years, you know, down the line, he was getting more playing time. For his career, he averages 14 and a half minutes, 6.2 points. Last season, you know, he played in 53 games, I think it was, for the Suns, a handful of starts. He averaged 19 and a half minutes, 8.9 points per game. You know, that looks pretty good. He's 6'5". He's got a 6'9", 6'10" wingspan. And he's got just, you know, quick speed. He's pretty athletic. There's a lot to like in the raw tools. And then you realize he's been in the league for, you know, 3 years. This will be his fourth. And it turns out he hasn't been that good overall. So it's been a little bit of a shame to see him not pan out like he wanted to. He's a career from three-point 22.7%. So you're not looking at him coming in here and spacing the court, adding much of that. He's being brought in to do exactly what Lance Stephenson did, which was get to the rim and score. And Goodwin's had a handful of very strong games, in the NBA against the Pelicans at the end of last season. He put up 24 against him. That's definitely a respectable thing. He's got talent. He just hasn't put it all together. He's very much a project. This is a move the Pelicans aren't looking to, pay off right now. This is something they want, if they're going to take a good long look at him, hopefully maybe next year he can blossom into something. But defensively, he's not great. He's got the tools for it, but he's never put it all together. That's going to kind of be the theme of him here. He doesn't really pass or assist much. He basically averages the same amount of assists as turnovers per game. So when he's driving to the rim, he's basically driving to the rim. It's either going to be a turnover or he's going to score. You're not looking at him to force the defense to adjust, to rotate, to collapse onto him for a kick-out pass. So he's a fairly one-dimensional player. He's inefficient at that of a score. So, he adds something to the team, not necessarily the whole complete package the Pelicans are looking for. But when you're looking at the end of the bench and, this far into the season, unfortunately, there isn't a lot of help out there for guys that you can sign. Goodwin might be the best available guy. I'd said on Twitter back on the final cuts day before the final rosters needed to be set, I wouldn't mind if the Pelicans took a flyer on him over Lance Stephenson. It looks like it's, this is coming true just in unfortunate circumstances. So I'm kind of upset to see that. But overall, it's a guy they're bringing in. He'll help some. He's going to have games where he lights it up. I have no doubt about this. He'll have games where he puts up 20-something points. Only then, the next night, he might have another off night where he might be turning the ball over, a couple of times a night. Lance Stephenson did good things, but the end of the games in crunch time, he was killer for the Pelicans, and it was pretty brutal. We'll see if Goodwin fixes some of these issues or if they kind of remain the same for the Pelicans going forward. All right, so the game on Friday, the Pelicans lose in OT at home against the Phoenix Suns, a not very good Phoenix Suns team. Pelicans had a chance to win this towards the end of the game and then didn't score for about 2 minutes, showing there's still a lot of problems with the offense. You can really see how much they're missing Drew Holiday, his passing, and just him running the floor effectively. Tim Frazier was quiet the other night. He really didn't have a great game. He had 13 points, just 3 assists. That's well below his season average and what he's been doing, which just shows how ineffective he was. Solomon Hill, also ineffective on offense. He played okay defense on TJ Warren. Warren put up 18, got to the line. He took 11 free throws, so got to the line a bunch. Solomon Hill's job is defense, allowing a guy 18, but still a deadly perimeter player at that is all right in my book. Offensively, he's just not doing enough. He needs to take more shots just to keep teams honest. It's not really working. The Pelicans' perimeter defense is still in trouble. Devin Booker scored 38 points. He was only 3 of 7 for deep, was 13 of 22 overall. So he was kind of getting into the lane, getting to the rim. He had 9 free throws attempted. This perimeter defense makes the interior defense absolutely atrocious. That's where a lot of these points in the paint come from. These guys get the ball on the perimeter, blow by the Pelican defender, and have an easy shot at the lane. Omer Asik is known as kind of that rim defender, and he can do it in a small little bit, but he can't get into there and keep, having to defend against these quicker perimeter guards and swingmen all the time, which is what he's being asked to do. That's kind of why Anthony Davis hasn't grown to be the defender we'd really all like him to be. It's because he's getting blitzed in the lane all the time. This has been a problem for a couple of seasons now. Again, it was tough on the perimeter defensively. Etuan Moore was acceptable. He was mainly guarding Booker for most of the night. I think Moore, who has good night shooting, he's a solid defender, but I think he's just being asked to do a little too much right now. You don't want him facing off against a very, very good perimeter player. Langston Galloway had a hand in there as well, trying to defend that. Wasn't as effective. He looked a little bit better on offense. He had a better shooting night. He was 3 of 4 from deep. I've said he needs to keep shooting. The Pelicans need him to keep shooting. He is a good 3-point shooter, and he hasn't really shown that, this season at all just yet. But he's starting to come around. Dante Cunningham didn't play. He was suspended for, it sounds like, something like a DUI in Washington. I think they just call it something a little bit differently. Really disappointing to see a guy who's supposed to be, a model NBA player setting a bad example with that. But it got him suspended on the night, which might have been, in a weird way, good for the Pelicans, because Terrence Jones got the start and played pretty well. He had 19 points. He was 1 of 3 from deep. He was pulled in crunch time. It doesn't seem like the Pelicans coaching staff really trusts him just yet. But he got some burn and showed that he was able to play pretty well. He was also very good defensively. The Suns have slightly undersized power forwards, which I think really helps him, him being a little bit undersized himself. He was able to, you know, play solid defense. He got 4 blocks. I don't think that's going to be the norm for him. He really isn't known defensively. I've said I'm not a huge fan of that pairing of him and Davis in the front court. I'd like to see a bit larger of a sample size with it to see exactly what's going on there. But, you know, it just shows that the bigs behind Anthony Davis are very situational. Terrence Jones will start at times in the right situation and be able to play well. So will Dante Cunningham. Don't forget, he played incredibly well against the Warriors a week ago in New Orleans in Durant's first road game. He played well. Omer Asik has moments where he plays pretty well in limited minutes against Milwaukee. He had a good matchup, especially in Greg Monroe when he was mainly out there. So it's these, they're all kind of situational, and there's no real consistency there. You're going to see this big rotation kind of changing game to game depending on the matchup, which isn't a bad thing. It's just hard to kind of build some consistency, some chemistry between certain guys. You'll even see, you know, Solomon Hill playing the 4 at times. So, again, with, you know, players not having a good night or having a good night, let's go to the perimeter now. You see Tim Frazier not having a good night, Langston Galloway playing okay, Etuan Moore playing okay, Buddy Hield not playing well after he had a good game before that. It's this consistency is becoming a problem. It's not going to make it easy on the coaching staff to formulate a rotation because you don't know who the hot hand's going to be that night. Who do you need to get out there and keep on the court? I'm not sure if it's the coaching staff's fault for changing this up as much, or if they're just kind of, you know, stuck and going moment to moment, or if they didn't get enough of a feel for this these players in this roster and this rotation in preseason and in practices. But right now, I think one of the things they need to do is just pick a rotation and stick with it for a certain amount of games, just knowing, you know, you're going to lose. Right now, they're looking at 0-9, 1-8, potentially with maybe that one win coming against the Lakers next Friday, or this coming Friday. It's a problem. They need to get a little bit more consistency going here. It's tough to see them being able to do that. So, you know, we'll see going forward if they get, you know, stick to it or not. With sticking to it, going to a bit of a preview for tonight's game against the Warriors. Main thing is, I think Terrence Jones is going to get the start again. I think Dante Cunningham's kind of played himself out of this rotation after the, you know, I don't think he had a terrible, terrible night against Milwaukee. He did not play well against Memphis where he was stuck on the pine. He only played about 5 or 6 minutes that game. And again, it's just going to keep cycling through. If Terrence Jones has a good game against this Warriors team, which there's some potential for him to, I think he'll get abused defensively, but he should be all right offensively. He'll continue to get the starts going forward until there's a matchup that dictates someone like Omer Asik. I'd like to see Cheick Diallo getting a little bit more burn on the court just to figure out what they have in him. He certainly can't be worse than Ajinsa has been for the Pelicans, so why not give the guy you spent a second-round pick on some time? Like I said, Pelicans are 17.5-point underdogs, according to certain books in Vegas. This is going to be a rough game. You know, Anthony Davis has potential to go off. He's played very, very well this season. And we're just going to have to see which Pelicans step up around him. You know, you could put money on which ones it might be or might not be, but it doesn't matter. You're going to have like 3 other guys who have all right games, maybe one guy who has a very good game. But it's ultimately not going to be enough because there's just not enough consistency on the court with Anthony Davis right now. You look at this team, and it's like they've got a lot of role players. And they do. They have very good role players in Tim Frazier and Solomon Hill, who's being paid, you know, to be a very good starter, but he's really not there. Langston Galloway, role player, bench player who's useful in the right situation. Same thing with Etuan Moore, who's a borderline starter, you know, maybe at best. This is a problem. The Pelicans are still missing a lot of talent, and I think overall that's why it's leading to some losses. They're kind of falling apart late in games due to a lot of coaching. I don't understand the plays out of timeouts right now. When my internet's back up and running, I can look at some of these numbers. I'm going to write about that and talk about that on the podcast for you guys. But a lot of kind of just beating the court with the ball on dribbles, waiting for time to run down, and then one action and then a move, and they're not really designing good plays to get the ball to Anthony Davis. That's on the coaching staff. That's been really disappointing. You have one of the better players in the league. Draw up good plays to get him the ball. And so hopefully if the game does end up being close, the Pelicans can execute a little bit better just to have a chance and keep this game close. They're going to have to execute really well tonight. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do it. Vegas doesn't think so with them being 17.5-point dogs, but we'll certainly find out. Game is at 9:30 Central tonight. It's in Oakland at Oracle Arena, always a tough place to play. So that's going to be the edition of Locked On Pelicans on this Monday for you. We'll find out what the Pelicans do tonight in Oakland against the Warriors. I will recap that for you tomorrow, maybe talk about a few other things. I should hopefully have some internet up and running where I can take a look and we can dive deep onto certain, you know, little intricacies that I want to, you know, kind of take a look at. We'll see if the Pelicans start 1-6 or 0-7. Probably going to be 0-7. So thank you guys for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison. This is Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Give us a follow on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. I'm at Nola Jake on Twitter. You can always email me any questions, any comments, criticisms. I don't mind listening to it all. It's Jake at bourbonstreetshots.com. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom. Make sure you're getting these podcasts downloaded to your phone on Stitcher or whatever app you want to use. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.